This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Medina.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Music Madni Channel. Welcome back to the journey of the heart to Medina. Alhamdulillah, where we identify diseases of the heart, which are a barrier to our heart becoming pure and being presentable in the court of the beloved. And Alhamdulillah, we've been working through various diseases, and today we've got some more for you. But inshallah, before we go there, let me start with a beautiful hadith e mubarakah. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Send salat upon me, for your salat reaches me." And now, there was a time where people couldn't understand that. The devotees of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Aashiqan Rasul always believed that we read and the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Gumbad-e-Khizra Sharif could hear our Durood al-Salam. But some people doubted it. What surprises me is that some people still question it. How or why, I can't understand, because I can ring somebody in Medina right now, I can speak to them, they can hear me, I can hear them. And if a little chip in this phone can allow that to happen, can you imagine the powers that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So whenever you recite Durood e Pak, recite with the conviction that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to our Durood salam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've got the one and only, our beloved Bilal Bhai, alhamdulillah. He, as always, steps in to help us out, and he's here today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, jazakallah.
Views of Madi channel, our main segment, the journey of the heart to Medina.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
The journey of the heart to Medina, it's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Now, today's topic is a very particular one, which is very relevant in today's society. And it is desiring fame, desiring a name for yourself. And it leads to all sorts of difficulties. Desiring fame means attempting to become popular, i.e. behaving in such a way that you become famous. Now, that leads to difficulties. What people do is their entire lives then revolve around convincing other people that they're pious, convincing others that they are doing things that are good in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when they're not doing them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're doing them for the sake of the people. And in today's social media era, this is particularly difficult. People's lives revolve around likes and views and everything else, and maintaining an image that is not really them. Bilal Bhai, big problem these.
I say it's a massive disease, Harun Bhai, that what happens, a lot of people, they look at other people and then all of a sudden, you know, they feel that they should be doing the same.
Allah.
And everybody wants to become famous regardless. I mean, what happened used to, previously, Harun Bhai, a lot of people used to, mazallah, commit sins behind closed doors. But now with the social media and becoming famous, mazallah, a lot of people do go to the extent that they publicize this on the social media. So they may be committing a sin, they may be doing a lot of wrongful activities. And that's something that they feel that, okay, fair enough, I'm doing this, I'm going to get many likes, I may get monetized, for example, a lot of people want to do it for money, etc. But ultimately, is that who we really are? As a Muslim, this is something that we should be really focusing upon, that there's certain conditions, certain prohibitions that we can't cross. But nowadays, with this disease of becoming famous, many likes, you know, many people following us, you know, it's very important that who are we the followers of? We're the followers of the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and we want to go into paradise. But with this disease of becoming famous, MashaAllah, we are committing many, many sins.
And it's taking over people's lives. And it's drowning people because people are doing activities, doing things purely to please others. There was a famous narration where a scholar was actually had a friend. And the friend seemed very pious. And one day, he goes to visit him.
Yeah.
And he's ill. And when he gets there, he sees that he's in a difficult state. Situation. So he says to him, recite the kalima. And he's trying to recite and he can't. Mm. So he says, look, you were very pious. You used to pray your tahajjud. You used to pray your prayers. You used to fast as well. Why are you in this condition?
Allah, Allah.
And he says that the reality is, Hazrat, that I did all that for the people.
Allah,
I never did it
Allah.
For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. I used to pretend in front of you that I was pious.
Mm.
I used to pretend in front of the people that I was pious.
Yes.
But when I was alone at home, I committed sins.
Yes.
And then what happened is that I became very ill. I then asked my family to get me the Quran. I read the Quran. And when I got to Surah Yasin Sharif, I prayed Surah Yasin Sharif and I begged in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive me and to cure me. And Allah Azza wa Jal, being the Rahman al-Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate, He forgave me and I got my health back.
Mm.
As soon as I did, the shaitan and my nafs tempted
me.
I went back to my ways.
Allah.
So in front of the people, I would act very pious.
Allah.
I would pretend that I was, you know, tasbih in hand and everything else. But in secret, I would carry on committing sins.
Mm.
I then got ill for a second time.
Yes.
And again, when the disease got really bad, I again got the Quran, I read and I prayed in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, the most compassionate Lord cured me. But again, I went back to my sins. On the third occasion when this happened, I heard a voice from the unseen, which said that every time we cure you, you go back to your life of sins. And I knew that my time was up.
Mm.
The pious man of Allah Azza wa Jal says that as he left the room, he heard a cry in the background and his soul departed from his body. And he says the shocking thing was that we were thinking that he was pious.
Absolutely.
But he was just pious to show the people.
Mm.
He wasn't pious at heart. And this is the life that we're living, Bilal Bey, at the moment.
And it's a very massive lesson for us to take as well, Harun Bey, that at times, yes, we go through difficulties, we go through trials and tribulations. And at that particular time, you know, we turn to Allah Almighty, we open the Holy Quran, we become pious. But this is something that we should be doing regardless. You know, if we are in happy times, we should be behaving according to Sunnah on a daily basis. And we should say Alhamdulillah, regardless of whichever state we're in. And ultimately, you know, we can't fool anybody. You know, it's something that we are going to be held accountable for. So if you are committing sins behind closed doors, or MashaAllah, like we mentioned today, a lot of people are becoming famous by committing these sins for these particular likes. But we are going to be held accountable for them in our grave and the hereafter.
Allah, the glorious Quran says this. And those who spend their wealth to show off to the people and do not believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla on the last day. And whosoever has the devil as his companion, i.e. advisor, so what an evil companion he is.
Allah, Allah.
And Mufti Sabin, Mufti Naimuddin Muradabadi, alayhi rahmatullahi al-Hadi, explains this verse. And he says that after stinginess, the Holy Quran now condemns extravagant spending. The judgment includes people who spend to gain popularity, fame, recognition, rather than spending for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and polytheists and hypocrites. And it kind of refers not only to spending, but doing these deeds for the sake of the people. And explaining the words, whoever has the shaitan as a companion, Mufti Sahib writes that in this world and the next, the shaitan is your companion because you're doing things to please him rather than for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he is with you in this world and you will be with him in the hereafter. And the scholars actually write that every individual who follows the shaitan, when he's thrown into the hell, the shaitan that he was following will be tied to him with chains of fire.
Allah, Allah.
And so this is why Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that, you know, if any individual acts in order to become famous, then Allah Azza wa Jal will humiliate him. Mm. If anybody acts in order to show off, then Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace him.
Yes.
So it is a situation where on the day of judgment, you will be exposed.
Yes, all of our book of deeds will be open in front of everybody. And at that particular time, who, you know, there's no hiding.
But how often does it happen, Bilal bhai, where even in this world, dunya maybe, you know, you see somebody and you think, yeah, mashallah. And then after a short period, maybe 6 months, a year, Allah Ta'ala has given him, leniency.
Yes.
And he's taking it for granted. Mm. And then he's exposed, he ends up in difficulty and danger, and his true self comes out.
Yes.
And yet those who do truly act for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I mean, our pious predecessors, they would hide all their good deeds.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the pious predecessors, all the companions, alhamdulillah, they had many, many blessings, but they were still humble. They remained steadfast. You know, they never used to take it for granted. But nowadays, what happens if we gain even a certain amount of money against our name, our title is, you know, we've obviously, you know, gone to university, we become a particular person. But we need to obviously remain that, alhamdulillah, is the blessings of Allah Almighty that I was bestowed with this intellect, and it's something that I should remain focused upon and come back down to reality. But I think where the problem lies, Harunma, is that education, that the basic fundamental teaching of Islam, we don't, you know, if we become successful in the dunya, we kind of compromise our Islamic teachings. So if we keep the balance of both worlds, inshallah, we'll be able to, you know, to succeed as well, inshallah.
I think the difficulty really lies in the thinking, because what these people do, the whole point of the creation is a test. And Allah Ta'ala wants to see who turns to Allah Azza wa Jalla, who does things for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and makes their deeds pure. Yes. And the irony is this, that those people who try to fake it get exposed or may not get the fame that they want because they want the fame from the people. Mm. And yet, look at the books of history, look at the blessed companions.
Yes.
They would try to hide their good deeds.
Absolutely.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla granted them fame.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with fame per se.
Yes.
Because, you know, our pious predecessors, the blessed companions were famous.
Yes.
But they were famous for the right reasons, and they never wanted to be famous.
Mm.
They wanted to hide their deeds. So if you do things for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala decides to make you famous,
yes,
it will make you famous.
When it happens, Arun, but obviously whatever is written, but as individuals, as Muslims, we need to make sure that we are doing it for the right reasons, and inshallah, by doing so, you know, that mazah as well, that huzu will be evident, because obviously what happens sometimes, you know, we want that peace. And if you do it with sincerity, that peace will arrive as well, inshallah.
I mean, just an example there. You know, Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Mulaliya didn't set out to be famous.
No.
They didn't want to be known.
No.
They kept their... I mean, even now, we don't know their deeds. They never tell you, I read this much nafil, I do this, I do that, yeah? And yet, people all over the world, millions of people love them.
Subhanallah.
They've got the fame that, you know, people couldn't even dream of.
Absolutely.
Yeah? And yet they've never wanted to be famous.
No.
You know, and this is the thing, that when you do things purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if Allah Azza wa Jalla so desires, the fame will come with it. Mm. But if you go looking for fame, then it transforms your deeds into useless.
Absolutely. There's many a times where people have gone to our Amir Ahl al-Sunnah, you know, put massive amounts of money, massive amounts of things on the table, and they said, give it to the Islami and I don't want to take anything. Mm. And nowadays, if people were offered that particular amount, you know, the shaitan takes over you. But alhamdulillah, our Amir al-Sunnah has given us this mindset that do everything for the sake of deen and everything will fall into place.
You know, what happens is when you're doing this social media and everything else, I've seen a lot of people who've made mistakes and their fame has gone from there to there, and suddenly overnight they've been famous for a few months or years and then suddenly they disappear. And yet, when you do things for the sake of Allah, I still find it amazing that a person who's been followed by millions of people around the world sits on television, Madni Muzakara, where, you know, earlier today as well. And then if he thinks, not even when they make a mistake, but if they think that maybe I've said something, they'll straight away say, I think I made a mistake here, live on television.
Absolutely.
And they'll turn to Mufti Saab, who has sat with them, and say, Mufti Saab, can you help me here? And then how many times has Amir al-Sunnah said, right, you need to edit this clip as well.
And put this in that place.
And there's no sense of, well, what would the people think?
Absolutely.
How will it happen? It's just purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so it doesn't really matter for us, if we make a mistake, correcting ourselves in public,
we don't want to. No, because that image will ruin. We think our image, our status will get ruined.
It's just having that mindset of, you know, what the people think doesn't matter is a very difficult mindset to accomplish. Mm. And unfortunately, our lives evolve around trying to get that fame. I mean, how many people are there, Bilal Bey, whose sole goal in life is to become famous? And even if it means, Nauzubillah, you've got people who badmouth the scholars of Islam, or you've got those very unfortunate and despicable people who say wrong things about the companions or the Ahlibayt-e Athar just to get famous. How pathetic is that?
It's very important. It's an eye-opener that many people are leaving the fold of Islam. Because why? They want to expose people and become famous or get money. But it's something that we have to be, you know, thinking that, hang on a minute, I'm doing this in this dunya, but I'm going to be held accountable for it. I need to answer these questions and what's going to happen at that particular time. Now, this dunya is only temporary. If you look at the people within our family, you know, how many years did they live on this particular earth? 70, 80 years if they're lucky, but the remainder of the time they're spending in their graves. So it's something that we should always be looking forward to, that how am I going to prepare for my grave? But yeah, become famous, but do it within the limits. You know, you have become famous, but keep the deen, stay humble, and don't, you know, take, you know, let that famousness get into your head. There's no harm in becoming famous.
Becoming
successful, inshallah. But I think what happens, we let that success, get that fame, you know, too much into our heads, and we think that everything is just me.
And it's a disease because not a lot of people, Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakat Malaria writes that a lot of us, we cannot handle fame. We cannot handle the constant attention. We are not that strong. And so it becomes very difficult. I mean, I know people who became famous and then they committed such sins that they would have never committed had they been normal people. And it, because it opens up opportunities for them. You know, you get messages and everything else. I have known, you know, people who are well-learned.
Yes.
Who, when they've been famous, and famous for religious work, and then because of that fame, it's destroyed them. And it's like money. Sometimes, you know, people who are poor or not that well off, you see that they'll come to the masjid, they'll pray five times namaz, and they'll spend time in the masjid. And when they become rich, they'll move out into the posh area, and you won't see them. And you know, what has that money done? It's taken them away from the path of deen. It's taken away from the masjid.
I mean, that's what shaitan wants. Obviously, the shaitan, when that particular individual is coming to the masjid, you know, he's banging his head against the wall. But then, as soon as he has an opportunity, that this person has gained fame, he jumps at it. And then for them to move into the sticks, he's won.
Yeah, and why do we want this fame, though? Do we want it so that, for example, we get famous so that people listen to my admonitions, become namazi, start to pray, start to fast, start to act upon deen. If that is your intention, then that's brilliant. You know, if today's social media. But unfortunately, there are very few people. And I suppose that those who do it with the right intentions, Allah Azza wa Jal blesses as well. I mean, the example in front of us is our beloved Abdul Habib Bhai.
Yes.
You know, he's very big on social media and everything else. But I know from the olden days, he wasn't bothered. He did it because I spent a lot of time with him in the early days. And I know that he did it purely. He thought, right, I can get this message to thousands of people. You know, there was one scholar, he did Juma Bayans, but he wouldn't. He was a very good Mubaligh and very good Bayans, and he wouldn't agree to come on Madni Channel. He said, I cannot handle the fame and everything else because it will affect me. I'm happy where I am. And, you know, these are the pious people that I had to sit him down and say, look, in all your life doing Jumma Bayans, you do Jumma Bayans to 100, 150 people, you will maybe reach a few hundred thousand in your lifetime. You go onto Madni Channel, millions of people are watching you around the globe. And if your message gets across and you do it for the right intentions, and alhamdulillah, you will be rewarded for that. And Mufti Sahib had to convince him. And these are the people who have the talents and they still shy away from it because they know the dangers of this fame. Whereas people like us, we think, oh, how can I get famous? You know, how can everybody know me? And it can lead to destruction.
Yeah, destruction. Because obviously, you know, it gets into your head. You become over proud of yourself. And then it kind of leads you one to the other. And then obviously there's no stopping. Whereas, you know, sometimes it's very important that we can learn to know where to stop. And this is obviously our limit. And we stay within the limits. And then obviously we can keep on going. And, you know, we can still get our message across, inshallah.
And what surprises me is we've talked from a religious point of view, just from a worldly point of view as well. You've got so many people that I've seen. And this is an eye-opener and an important lesson for those brothers and sisters who go down a particular track. I want to become a politician, for example. Yes. I want to become a councillor, an MP, or I want such and such a position. Mm. And they spend their entire life chasing that position.
Absolutely.
For the fame that it brings.
Allah.
And so their entire life is about position, status, contacts, networking. And religion doesn't play a part in it. And it's totally useless.
Absolutely.
You know, if somebody said, I want to become, say, an MP, but I'm going to help the Muslims, I'm going to help the Deen of Nabi Karim, that's a different thing. But very few have that intention. Yeah. The intention behind it is the fame that comes with it. And with that come all the dangers that they have.
Also, one thing to mention here is that to reach that particular stage, there's many a times that people have to go through the networking, they have to go through many, many people. And at that time, obviously, as a Muslim, we've got certain duties, the salah, spending time with families. But then we kind of sacrifice those. And obviously, we are going to be sinful for that. So to reach a stage, how many sins we are committing. And that's very important. That, okay, fair enough. If you want to reach a particular goal, but remain, you know, on top of your duties as a Muslim. And then inshallah, you'll see there will be more barakah. And inshallah, you know, there will be help from Allah Almighty for you to succeed. But when it happens, obviously, we just go after that particular status or that particular role, and we kind of forget about our religious duties, then you just keep on chasing it. You'll never be able to do it.
Because our greatest treasure is our iman.
Absolutely.
Now, in this pursuit of fame, if it is a danger to our iman, then where do we go? How many people have become famous and then moved away from religion?
Absolutely.
And without that fame, they could have lived a peace, tranquil life in the teachings of Islam, in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this fame has totally changed their lives. And, you know, they are now pop stars or whatever they are. And, you know, and when the time goes by, you know, when the time has passed, they will think, what have we done?
Yes.
What have we done? And desiring fame. And it takes a very strong mind to say no to it. But one example in Dawat Islami is our Junaid Sheikh Bhai.
Yes.
You remember that he was a popular singer. He was on European tours, American tours and everything else.
Yes.
And then he had a dream.
Allah.
And he saw himself in the dark and lonely grave. He saw Amir al-Sunnat. And I've got a hats off to the guy. He realized what reality was. And he gave up everything. This was a guy who was rubbing shoulders with the most famous people in the world.
Absolutely.
And then he gave up everything we use in Madni Channel, and he joined the Jamia and became a scholar of the Deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, I still find that amazing.
Yeah. MashaAllah, honestly, his voice is still beautiful. His voice is part of many, many programs, and it still continues.
Our program as well. The voiceover for that is by Junaid Bhai as well. I meet him regularly. He's a good friend. And, you know, some of the best nats that we get is from him. He's done some amazing kalams. And in his kalams, you know, he's got that
that pain
and that love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But above all else, look at this. And this is the point I wanted to make, Bilal Bhai, that he would have been famous doing the wrong thing.
Allah.
He gave that up for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
MashaAllah.
He kind of locked himself away. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, well, you know, oh my servant, you've given up that for me, I'll make you famous anyway.
Allah.
He's known throughout the world. But now he's known for his Nazis. I mean, most programs on Madani Channel, beamed all the way around the world, they have the introduction kalams and they're his. A lot of the Nats on YouTube and things like that that circulate are his kalams. He's world famous anyway.
Absolutely.
And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal works in amazing ways. So if Allah Azza wa Jal wants to make you famous, he will make you famous for the right reasons, so long as you do deeds for his sake. Viewers of Madni Channel, you know, these social media, it takes over our lives. And, you know, we get into a lot of difficulty trying to look for fame. And then I've not even gone into the battles where we think comments or somebody else has tried to counter us or insult us, and it's affected my dignity, my pride, and then we get into arguments and fights and slanging matches, and it gets horrific. And all this are the troubles of seeking fame.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Viewers of Madinah, we were discussing desiring fame. Now, the second disease of the heart that we're going to discuss is a very, very interesting one. It's a phenomena that we all encounter. And Bilal Bey, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I was sat at a Fatiha.
Yes.
Fotki. And the local people were there, and our Imam Sahib, very pious, Hafiz al-Quran, very, very good. And they came in. And one or two of us stood up, we welcomed them, we sat them down.
Yes.
But the vast majority of the room
didn't get up.
They didn't give them the respect and honor. And yet, within about 5 or 10 minutes, a guy who's known to be a millionaire,
yes,
he walked in.
Allah Allah.
And the entire room stood up, they went over to him, they started shaking his hands, and they started to talk to him and everything. And I'm sat there thinking, why? And this is the disease of the heart.
Allah
respecting
Allah.
People because of their wealth, because of their influence, solely for the sake of their money and status, this is condemned in Islam. Yet the reality is, beloved, this happens so much in our society.
The thing is on this, Harun Bhai, that it's getting worse. For example, like you mentioned, with the Imam, obviously the Imam is, you know, leading many, many Muslims in Salah, for example. He's probably taught a lot of individuals within the local community. So in terms of what he's given to the community, in terms of Muslims, in terms of people being able to learn the Quran properly, that is a massive achievement. But when a particular individual that done nothing compared to the Imam Sahib, but what happens, he's got a status, he's in a yen's money, for example. He's got obviously a lot of wealth behind him. We overlook that and we think that he's probably the best person. And this is a massive disease, like you mentioned. And it's becoming more and more common in nowadays where discussions happen, or so-and-so person's got X amount, you know, he's a Malik Sahib, he's a Raja Sahib or whatever. And we don't look at, you know, in terms of Islamically, where are they? And that's something that we should really contemplate over.
I mean, basically, it's respecting people because you think that you might be able to benefit from
yes.
them. You might be able to get... And people often kind of talk to them and, you know, as what is it? The word is chaplusi and, you know, all of that in our own language. I suppose it's kind of sweet-talking them
yes.
and trying to appear good in their books and everything else. Your deeds, your actions are for the sake of Allah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when they're with these people, they try to present themselves as being very pious or something else as well. And yet, who are you doing it for?
What are you doing it for? I know there is a massive lesson for Muslims that till Judgment Day, they should abstain from imitating people who are negligent, arrogant, show-offs, and rich. Rather, they should follow sincere, devout, poor Muslims. Obeying rich people will liberate both your religious and worldly affairs.
Allah.
This is why most prophets and pious people resided amongst the poor people.
I mean, Amir al-Sunnah, one of the beauties of Amir al-Sunnah is they say things as they are.
Allah, Allah.
What Amir al-Sunnah says is this, that the primary and most significant reason that people respect rich people is greed.
Yes.
In your heart, in your conscious, in your subconscious, you are thinking that this rich personality may help me. I may be able to get my hands on some of his wealth.
Yes.
I may be able to benefit from him. And what you do is you shift your focus from depending on Allah Azza wa Jal, putting your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, and knowing that your rizq is written and your sustenance, Allah Azza wa Jal is a provider.
Yes.
And you're actually handing that over to the rich person. You're thinking, you know, this person, it can be my savior. And that is pretty damning. Pretty damning. And the cure for this is that you should think, this person can't help me. Whatever is in my destiny, Allah Azza wa Jalla has written
yes.
by, you know, looking up to these people. And what sometimes happens is, and this is something that Ruknishura Haji Yafud Sahib warned us against
yes.
many, many years ago. He was in the Rabta Majlis, and what he was saying was, he used to meet the rich and famous.
Yes.
And he said, it is a very difficult task. So he said, why, Hazrat? You know, you're meeting all these rich and famous people. And he said, because If they say something wrong, you cannot nod your head, you cannot acquiesce.
You can't acknowledge it.
You have to be... So if they come out with some sort of... And a lot of these people, unfortunately, they're not very religious, and they don't understand the religions, and they come out with such kalimat, and he says, well, we have to stop them, we have to say to them in a way, and he goes, it's a very difficult task, because they don't understand, because they're full of the ego, the arrogance, and everything else, and if you try to do that islah, that becomes very difficult. So he goes, it's a very dangerous game. You should keep yourself away, unless it's somebody trained and knows how to deal with these sorts of situations. You need to keep yourself away from them. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have to give Nikiki, that we have to call towards righteousness, these people. We have to try and do that islah. But it's not for everybody.
Not everybody, no, man. So it's just one of those things. If you don't know how to do it, or you've not been able, well, you've not been trained, it probably can become a very tricky situation for you. And try to obviously get out of it, or try to educate them, is not an easy task. So it's very important that if you are going and visiting these people for, call towards righteousness, that you be prepared. And it's something that we shouldn't really, give more focus towards, because that's what happens nowadays. Yes, we should invite them, and obviously we should bring them closer to the Islam. But, like you mentioned, getting up and giving them the warm welcome, it's just something that what happens, we kind of, we're trendsetters. So, for example, if I've done it, and someone within that gathering saw me do it, he's going to think that this is normal. So when they come to the house, or when they see them, that's what they will do. And
no, we're not saying, when guests come to your house.
Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to welcome them. But
welcome them for the sake of Allah.
With every guest, though, regardless.
Exactly. When your poor relative comes to your house, treat him in exactly the same way as you treat the rich relative that comes to your house. Present him with the same food. Present him with the same warm welcome. If you're giving your poor relative that cold shoulder, thank you to our guest. And the rich man comes and you lay out the red carpet, and they're both your cousins or your relatives, you need to ask yourself some questions.
Hamrubai, I kind of feel for that particular individual that wasn't welcomed, and he's still part of that same crowd when this other individual comes and everybody gets up. So what is he going through? And mazallah, many a times they may, give a dua, a baddua, and, are we going to be okay to have that? And that barakah within your household, that Allah can disappear.
Viewers of Madni Channel, time has flown by. We've still got to go to our Muslim invention section. But don't respect people because of their wealth, their status, or anything else. Deal with them normally, like you do everybody else. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, rather than in these people because of the greed or thinking that I'll gain something from them. You will only gain what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed for you. We're going to quickly move on. We've only got a couple of minutes left for the Muslim invention section. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the heart to Medina, it's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Now, the first picture that we've got, Bilal Bhai, this week, if my team can bring it up, is that. Now, what they are actually surgical instruments that the Muslims invented.
SubhanAllah.
Now, surgical instruments obviously have been around for a long time, but the Muslims took them to a whole new level. They developed surgeries and medication, and they developed these are historical kind of pictures of the types of things that Muslims developed to help with surgery, complex surgery. And if you show me the next picture, and that shows modern day tools.
Allah.
And they are so similar.
Yes.
The tools that Muslim surgeons invented 1,000 years ago are pretty much the type of tools that are being used on the operating tables
nowadays,
today in your local hospital. How amazing is that?
SubhanAllah.
And they're still being used. And this is, the Muslim heritage that we miss. That Islam is so beautiful, and the golden eras of Islam have done so much that the world is still benefiting from those teachings. Move on to my second Muslim invention. Now that, Bilal Bhai, is a hospital.
Right.
Now, it was the first time under the Muslim rule in the golden age of Islam that actually wards, disease sections, isolations, and systems for medication and treatment of patients was actually started. Initially, it was just a doctor sat there dealing with patients and giving them the medication. Proper hospitals were developed by Muslims, and in Muslim countries, if you show the second picture, you had proper medical facilities. The next picture, proper medical facilities that Muslims had organized so beautifully. That was a hospital in a Muslim country.
MashaAllah.
And it had different sections, different diseases, contagious diseases were put at one side and other diseases, and everything was sectioned off, men's sections, women's sections, beautifully done.
MashaAllah.
And a lot of the layout of current hospitals is based upon those.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. And again, it was the Muslims and the Muslim scholars and the early kind of academics who developed these amazing systems, wow, which are still being used around the world today. So the Muslims, alhamdulillah, are responsible for so much of the modern world things that we see. Viewers of Madni Channel, we've come to the end of the program. May Allah bless you all, and inshallah, we'll see you soon. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Madinah.